This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on government's efforts for development in Jammu and Kashmir. The participants are Professor Ashok Aima, political analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
So I'm joined by Professor Ashok Aima, who is a political analyst, and today we will be discussing on the government's efforts for the development of Jammu and Kashmir. So we understand that there are a number of infrastructure and other related projects that are currently in progress in Jammu and Kashmir. Honorable Prime Minister of India, Shri Narendra Modi, laid the foundation stone for a number of such projects for the development of Jammu and Kashmir. Could you tell us why this effort is so important on the part of the central government to ensure that Jammu and Kashmir develops just as well as the rest of the country?
I think the fundamental argument is that the country needs to get a vibrant connect across the board from north to south, east to west. In that regard, I think that the last 10 years have been profound transformational argument in the J&K's infrastructure development. I'll give you one instance. From Jammu to Kashmir, it would take you about 8 to 10 hours to travel. Today, if you can drive straight without anything, you reach within 4.5 hours. And if you have to climb up to what you call from Banihal to Banihal tunnel to down, it would take you 1.5 hours. Today, it takes you about 10 minutes. Cutting down on the energy cost, pollution, which gets substantially, you would have about 10,000 trucks climbing up and climbing down today. Energy, it has resulted in energy savings. It has resulted in environmental conservation. It's a phenomenal argument today with the Honorable Prime Minister coming in and having the train connect from Kanyakumari to Kashmir. It's going to be a transformational argument. That's why I believe that it has been one of the phenomenal arguments in the recent times to connect valley to all parts of India. And that required a decisive leadership and the vision. Why I'm saying so is that you need to understand the backdrop of it. If I have to be a planner, you would say, what are the regional resource endowments within which you work? In J&K, you had the power as a first, tourism as your core competence, and the horticulture as a third. For 70 years, they were nowhere to be visible into it. Why? Because the growth model which was envisaged was based on central government's almost 100% funding the subsidizing the consumption. That created a what you call the dependency syndrome, whereby the competencies of the people and the region could never get a chance to get into a developmental argument. But today you would find that, imagine, for instance, power had an 11,000 megawatt power potential. Ladakh alone had 5,000 kilowatt power potential. And particles, you may know, till yesterday, yes, we didn't have any apple being the core, what you call the attribute of Kashmir Valley as a product, didn't have even a single juice factory out there. So what were we doing? We were trying to subsidize the consumption, which eventually created a dependency syndrome. That's why you'd find after Bihar, J&K is the only state where the people have the maximum of government jobs and still looking to the government jobs without believing in the competence of the human talent which need to be nurtured, which is happening right now. And that's why I would say that the first time the fault lines which are being corrected is that money can purchase anything has proved fallacious. And dependency syndrome have with the present government's effort to what you call the back to the villages connect, the fifth one the program is on, has almost challenged these arguments. That's why I think that the present Prime Minister visit is not only an indication of that the J&K is an inalienable part of the country, but it needs to be contributing to the transformational development of the country. Imagine 2 crores of tourists visited last year, and this year it is phenomenal. I was just a couple of weeks back in Srinagar, hardly any hotel room which is available. That's the kind of spurt which the present government has done. Why? Because of the transparency, because of believing that they need to go back to the people, back to the villages, empower the panchayats. And that's a phenomenal argument which is happening right now. And you must understand, Arjun, that the temporal diversities from Ladakh to Jammu are huge. Geographical, regional, cultural, religious, political. And how do you align them into the national mission statement has been a very big challenge for the present government, which has brought a convergence to people around in the mainstream.
Professor Aima, could you tell us something about the Honorable Prime Minister's participation in Empowering the Youth, a Transforming J&K event at the SKICC Srinagar, which is a Sher-e-Kashmir International Conference Kashmir, Center?
Yeah. I would tell you that this is not only that the government jobs are being offered, but I look beyond that as well. The job creation in the market through the startups, through the entrepreneurship initiatives which are being taken up at college level, at school level, is going to be a huge change which is going to bring about. Because let me tell you honestly, till yes, even today to an extent, people look only to the government jobs. That has its own limitations. But apart from what nearly 4,000 job offers or letters are being given by the Honorable Prime Minister across, but I think the job creation essentially to happen in the market economy is a hallmark of the present dispensation. If you see the type of incentives which have come through, you have now introduced what you call the private universities bill, where you are subsidizing to an extent of 50% to bring the private best institutions to come up in the state to create a quality education. I think that's a wonderful argument to happen right now.
So, 22 degree colleges, 2 culture universities, IIM Jammu and IIMC Jammu are being established and built in Jammu and Kashmir right now. There are 6 government degree colleges which are also being constructed as we speak. So, you find education and training as a foundation for the development of Jammu and Kashmir going on right now.
Absolutely true. I think you need to look at 11 universities apart from the IITs, IIM Jammu, 2 central universities. I think the network of the spread of the educational institutions to train the manpower, young youth manpower, educated manpower into the skills, into the occupational opportunities, career pursuit is going to bring a kind of a change into it. And I must also tell you that the AICT is doing a wonderful job in helping the educational institutions with loans, with the scholarships. I was just looking through the ad yesterday with the AICT has issued for the educational scholarships across. I think that has created an access to the young youth where in Kupwara, in Handwara, remote areas of Kashmir, remote areas of Jammu, Doda, Bhadrawa, to access to these kind of opportunities which was hitherto not known to, they are not even aware about it. I must tell you, and I must appreciate also that the young youth of J&K is very, very dynamic, very intelligent. They just required an access and opportunity. That's what the present government is doing, and I think central government, especially the AICT and the UGC, needs to be complemented into that regard. Look to the All India Institute of Medical Sciences here, and the director of the institute the other day told me that they were able to start operating in this medical institute in less than 2 years' time frame, which is phenomenal. And it has created a huge employment opportunities for the skilled youth in the region. So I think the massive investments which have occurred into not only in the infrastructure, but I say in education, in health, in tourism, I think they understand now the consequences of conflict and the advantages of peace far outweigh consequences of ideological conflict. Let me tell you something, the recent initiatives like J&K Industrial Policy 2021-30, J&K's Industrial Land Allotment Policy, J&K's Private Industrial Development Policy, you can see that it has attracted about 89,000 crores investment proposals with nearly 4 lakh employment opportunities. That's where I think the present government must be complimented that they have allowed people and especially the young people who were earlier on the streets to come into the startups and the entrepreneurial pursuits. That's a huge transformational argument.
Professor Aima, you spoke about health and medical education as well. There are colleges at Rajouri, Baramulla, Anantnag that is being built. You have maternity hospitals also in Jammu and Srinagar, 200-bed hospitals. Yeah. With the health infrastructure, how important is that for the youth development there?
I can tell you, I just look into the technology interface in the medical health in Doda Bhadrawa, which are the remote regions. You have the technology which can link a patient to the best institute in the country like All India Institute of Medical Sciences and others for the diagnostic argument, even on the prescribing the medicines. There's a huge qualitative upward movement in healthcare, and that's something which one must appreciate. And I must tell you also that the Parvaz Plan 2024, which is to boost the academic credentials, academic potential among the low-income groups, economically weaker section of the society, has also been, you know, nominal argument.
We have nearly more than 6,000 villages in J&K. And as of now, you can see that we have 53 projects pertaining to the 15 ministries, which has attracted 58,477 crore investment in road, power, health, education, tourism, agriculture, skill development. Skills development is being hugely emphasized here. You have developed now skill development department in the J&K, which is addressing to the creation of the skill empowerment, nurturing the skill right from the college across the 20 districts of the Union Territory. I think that eventually is the human competence which will give a positive upward movement to the overall economic development of the region.
Professor Ayama, apart from human development, let's move on to infrastructure like roadways. Honorable Prime Minister is also laying the foundation stone for the JKCIP, which is a competitiveness improvement in agriculture and allied sectors. Yeah. The implementation is at the block and district level of Jammu and Kashmir, and there are multiple beneficiaries at the household level. Could you tell us something about this?
Look to the infrastructure. The once this rail starts from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, your fruit from Kashmir can move with a seamless effort. Otherwise, you know, once the road would get blocked, your trucks laden with the fruit would get stranded for about 5 days, 10 days, and its cost of holding would be something like 15,000 crores to 20,000 crores. And I think, God willing, by end of June, once this train movement starts, you will see the movement of the products, the fruit, the other tangible products moving across without any hindrance to different parts of the country and as well for the export purposes. That's one which I think is very important to understand. The other, I think that which is being very strongly emphasized is one district, one product program, which the honorable government is personally looking into it. That's going to bring about a huge integrative aspect, connecting different, what you call, the host institutions, education, industry, local bureaucracy together on a single platform to integrate their initiatives. Eventually, what is happening is that we have got to bring the spatio-temporal integration in the diverse region from Himalayas to the plains of Puthwa. So that can only happen when each district has its own regional plan, which brings in all the stakeholders together, not only the government agencies, but the people who must become the main stakeholders in the developmental process.
Professor Ayama, power development, the Deen Dayal Upadhyay Gram Jyoti Yojana, there's also electrification of villages. Apart from that, there are projects associated with irrigation and flood control, with climate change and overflooding of rivers like Jhelum. How do you see these projects actually being implemented for the benefit of Jammu and Kashmir?
I think they must assume a priority. Imagine at J&K, at a point of time, we had about 70% power leakages. That should be curbed. We can generate our own electricity, but then the leakages have to be addressed to it. Then I think, which is very important, like in J&K and Ladakh, you can then go massively into the solar power energy generation. They have a massive potential, and that should be brought on a priority.
Thank you so much, Professor Ashok Ayama, for being with us on Akashvani and giving us your insightful views on the government's efforts for the development in Jammu and Kashmir. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on government's efforts for development in Jammu and Kashmir. The participants were Professor Ashok Ayama, political analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.